And now for reading and writing and radio.
As the teacher read the answers, we second graders checked our own arithmetic papers. One of my answers was wrong, but if I sort of overlooked the mistake, who would know? I didn't mark it. I missed another. My conscience was nudging me, but I ignored it. After all, it was just a small mistake. I really knew the right answer. Besides, I could pretend the teacher had been going too fast. Just as I tried to soothe my inner self with that thought, Miss Bechtel stopped reading and asked if she was going too fast for anyone. I didn't say anything. No one would ever know I wasn't checking honestly.
The author of that confession is Ethel Kuntzman, who teaches at North School Verdon. But it could be you. WSSR Radio at Sangamon State University presents Reading and Writing and Radio, a program about creative writing. Your host is Jacqueline Jackson, children's author and professor of literature at Sangamon State University.
Let's go on with Ethel Kuntzman's story. Miss Bechtel finished reading the answers, stopping every few problems to ask if anyone needed one repeated. I didn't check wrong another one that I'd missed. After she gave the last answer, she told us the grades to put on our papers. I put down my somewhat tarnished 100. Then the teacher said, "Please hand in your papers." That was something I'd never bargained for. After all, we'd already checked the papers. How unfair of her! I felt smaller and smaller as I worried about the paper and my dishonesty. What would Miss Bechtel say? How could I defend my actions? Could I still say she'd gone too fast and I just didn't tell her I needed one repeated? After all, I was a quiet little girl. What would my friends say? Everyone would know that I was a cheat. Noon hour had dragged by. My lunch had tasted like sawdust. The games were no fun. I sat huddled on the front step, nearly in tears, for which I found no explanation when friends asked what was wrong. I knew Miss Bechtel was looking over our papers. Crime certainly did not pay. It was with relief that I heard the bell signaling the end of the noon hour. The consequences surely couldn't be worse than the worry. Immediately after we returned to our seats, Miss Bechtel handed back our papers, mine with 3 red check marks and a lowered grade. As she gave them to us, she sorrowfully said, "There was only one honest Injun in the class, Donald, who had not missed any." She never mentioned it again. She never let us check our own papers again, either. I don't know how Miss Bechtel's reaction affected the other second graders. We never referred to the incident among ourselves. None of the other children ever brought it up, perhaps because no one else thought it was the big crime I felt it had become. As for me, I've never forgotten hearing there was only one honest Injun. Perhaps that kept me from any further cheating. Well, Ethel Kuntzman wrote that paper in a class that she was in with me, and I visited North School last year, and I let the cat out of the bag. There was much glee among the students, and somebody said that cheating was a subject that we hadn't written about yet for Reading and Writing and Radio. And my response was, "Okay then, tell me your cheating stories, and we'll use a few of them to start the program." So today we're going to read some papers from North School, but first I want to introduce the guests that I have with me. We have 4 students from Mr. Ortman's 6th grade at Ridgely School in Springfield: Kim Brewer, Tammy Powell, Mike Durham, and Greg Dabbs. We have Kate Humphrey from Isles School, Mrs. Neff's 6th grade, that's Springfield, And then Randy Wooldridge is from Williamsville, and he's in Mr. Croucher's sixth grade English class. And kids, I think the first thing I'd like to ask you, before we read some of these North School stories, have you ever cheated or been cheated? Anybody want to volunteer a story? Kim? All right, we've got Kim's hand up. She'll tell us something about herself once.
Once I cheated on my brother. We were playing checkers. And I didn't tell him I was cheating. And then after he got mad at me because he found out that I was cheating. So I said I was sorry. And we made up.
And did you cheat him again?
And I didn't cheat him again.
We have here a story from North School by Danette Doherty, who was in Mrs. Kunzman's fourth grade class last year. And Tammy, how about you reading that? That's about checkers.
When Delicia and I were playing checkers, I took four of her checkers off the board. She lost and I won. And we played another game, and I lost and she won. And then I did not want to play anymore because I cheated her. I got sad, and so I told her. I said, Danetta, I cheated you too.
She said.
She said.
Right, that's the point. They discovered that they'd been cheating each other. Have you ever been in a game situation and discovered everybody was cheating?
Yeah.
Here's another checkers story. Greg, how about reading us this one from North School? Oh, wait, did I say who that was from? No. Greg Du Bois from Mrs. Kunzman's last year's fourth grade.
My little sister gave me a quarter and I gave her a dime. Then she asked me to play checkers, and she was talking to my mom and my dad and my brother, and I took some of her checkers. Now that she's five, she's getting smart enough to tell my dad when I cheat. I'd better quit.
It sounds like she traded the dime for the quarter, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she came out the loser on the deal. Yeah, as well as the checkers. Who else has a cheating story to tell? Okay, Mike... Durham, tell us yours.
One time I went, my mom and dad gave me some money to go down to the store to get some candy for my brothers and I, and they gave me I think it was about $1.50, and I got my brothers a whole bunch of gum, and I got myself some licorice, and then I stuck some of my brother's gum in my sack, and then when we got home, no one noticed.
Your brother didn't notice either, huh?
Uh-uh.
Another story from any of you? Okay, Kate's got a story.
One time, my mom and I were playing pickup sticks, and she had to go answer the phone for a second, and it was my turn, and I tried to pull one of the little sticks out, and another one moved, and I just kept it, and when she came back, she didn't even know.
And so you kept right on with the game?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We've got some more here from North School about games. Doug Boblanger has written one. Mike, would you read that one?
Last Wednesday, I bet my cousin in cards. I bet $1. I cheated by putting four aces on top, so I had 300 points, counting all of my other points. My cousin had 195 points. I get my dollar Saturday the 2nd.
Now, he sounds like a hardened criminal, doesn't he? Because he's not only cheated, but he's going to collect on it and still intending to get his dollar. Here's another one by Jeff Hayes of Mrs. Kunzman's last year's class, also playing a game. Randy?
Once I cheated my sister when we were playing a game. I said I was blue, but she really was blue and I was red. And when I was on 155 and I needed one more point and she got it and I got number 4 and she won the game.
So he got his. It backfired. Let's see, another one on a game here. Kate, would you read this one from Dawn Cuffeens, who's in Mrs. Kunzman's class.
I was playing Batman and Robin, and I cheated my brother, and I was glad. I also took money from him, too, and was glad about that. Mom let us have a cracker, and I took most of his and was glad. He cheated me by taking my piece of candy, and I screamed at him.
That doesn't sound very fair, does it? She gets mad every time, and then when he gets back at her, why, she screams at him. She's glad when she gets him. We haven't heard stories from all of you yet. Randy?
Well, once I was taking a health test, and I wrote down some of the answers on my hand with an ink pen, and I took the test, and I didn't get caught, and I missed two, and those were the two that I had written down on my hand.
How do you account for that?
Well, maybe somebody saw me and told the teacher.
You mean the answers weren't wrong, and yet she counted them off? Or don't you know?
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. It seems somehow sort of a poetic justice or the scales, you know, of justice were getting back at you. The very two that you had written on your hand didn't come, were the ones that you got wrong. See, Kim, here is a story from Heather Modica, who was in Mrs. Emerson's fourth grade class last year.
I had this neighbor. I would go to play with her. But when I wanted to come home, she would cry. So I would play hide and seek with her. She would be it. And when she had her eyes closed, I ran home.
That's rather clever in a way, isn't it? Get her eyes closed and then you get to go home.
Yeah.
We have a few more here from North School. Why don't we read those and then we'll get on with some more of your stories and discussion. Randy, how about reading Lynette Holly's, who was in Mrs. Emerson's class?
One time my mother told us to clean the house. Sweep, dust, mop, vacuum, the whole bit. Then she left the house. It better be spick and span, she says. Sometimes I don't feel like doing it, so I sweep, but instead of picking it up, I sweep it under the rug. And every Saturday, my mom, cleans our house. We always try to get out of there, and one time I didn't get out, and she picked up the rug and saw the dirt. Man, on the hole, way down. And man, I ran, and you bet I never did it again.
Here's one on cheating at baseball. This is Dean Hupp, who was in Mrs. Emerson's class. Mike, will you read that one?
We were playing baseball. I was up to bat. I swung at the ball. Strike one, strike two, strike three. They said, you're out. I told them that I didn't bring the bat all the way around. I talked them into letting me have another swing, and I missed. I struck out even after I cheated.
So it didn't do him any good that time.
Uh-uh.
Here's one from Polly Fletcher, who was in Mrs. Emerson's fourth grade. One day my mom bought some candy. It was my favorite candy. There were two layers of it, so my little brother and I came in and started eating. One layer passed really fast until there was one candy left on that layer. I said, go ahead and eat it. He said, okay. I said, watch TV now. He said, okay. And I had another whole layer of candy to eat myself. And after a little while, I kind of felt bad. What does that make you wonder? Makes me wonder whether he felt bad because he cheated his little brother or whether he ate a whole layer of candy all by himself. Maybe he felt it for both. And here's a final one. Terry June was in Mrs. Emerson's fourth grade. Greg, would you read that one?
When I put together an engine, I cheated in one way. But I didn't really cheat, because when I put the engine together, I didn't put all the parts in. That's how I cheated. But on the other hand, I didn't cheat because the engine didn't work. I really cheated myself.
Let's ask that question of ourselves. Have you ever cheated yourself? Any of you? Can you remember any instance when mm-hmm. you've cheated yourself by something? You're careful not to cheat yourselves, huh? Oh, Kim's got her hand up, okay?
Well, one time I baked a cake. I think it was a lemon cake. And me and my brother, my mom, she had left and she told us we could bake a cake because we were going to give a birthday party to my sister, but she didn't come back home. She was out of town. So I cut a piece of cake, and I thought it would. I thought I had more than him, and I cut it. I forgot where it was. And then I cut it, and I gave him a piece, and I gave me a piece. And then all of a sudden, it looked funny. I go, your piece is bigger than mine. Then I tried to get it from him, and he hit me with it.
So you had cheated yourself by giving him the bigger piece when you hadn't really meant to. And you got hit with the cake?
Oh. Threw the cake at me.
Threw the cake at you. Wow. Well, you got it then, really. But not in the way you wanted it. Let's see. We haven't heard from stories from a couple of you. Tammy, have you got a story you can tell us? You have no cheating story? You do have a cheating story? Well, come on, tell us.
I don't want to tell it.
Oh, but when you said you'd be on the program, you said you'd tell a story. Come on.
Well, when I was in fourth grade, we had this math test, and I just sort of looked on this girl's paper. She'd always help me with stuff, so I just looked on paper, and then I got a 100. So did she.
And how did you feel afterwards?
I felt bad about cheating. Mm-hmm.
Let's maybe ask that of all of us. How do you feel after you've cheated? Kate read us a story of a girl who really felt glad every time she did it. But some of the papers, like Mrs. Kunzman and some of the rest, say they feel bad afterwards. Randy's nodding. They can't see that over the air, so you got to say something in order to be heard and understood. Tammy felt bad. Do you think usually that makes you feel bad, or do you suppose it depends on the circumstance?
Depends on the circumstance.
What's a circumstance where you might feel good?
Well, when, like,
Go ahead, Greg, you gotta...
Someone cheats you and you're gonna get even with them. It makes you feel better.
Sometimes revenge makes you feel pretty good, doesn't it? In that story that we read where Danette and the other friend had both cheated on each other. Did you have something to finish there, Randy? Mm-mm. The circumstance. Greg, have we had a story from you yet? Mm-mm. Let's hear yours then.
My little sister and I were playing Monopoly, and I was the banker, so I slipped $2,000 underneath the board, and she caught me, and she wouldn't play Monopoly with me anymore, not unless she got to be the banker. That's how we always play.
So she's the banker, yeah. And do you trust her as banker?
Not really.
One thing, I probably would have said a couple things to Mrs. Kunzman's teacher if I'd been grown up at that time. I've read some books about kids and about cheating, and have you ever played with games with second graders and kids that are about 7 years old?
Yeah.
Don't you find that they have to win?
Yeah.
Or they start crying, or they get all upset? Well, probably when you were about second grade, you had to win, too. I know I had to win when I was about second grade. And it seems as if we go through a phase where we simply will do anything, including cheating and crying and kicking and so forth, to in order to win a game or to get 100 or something like that. So I think Mrs. Kunzman's teacher probably wasn't really aware that second graders shouldn't be checking their own papers, or at least should know that the teacher's going to check them afterwards. Because cheating is just something that they probably will do. But most kids will outgrow that and will begin to have a moral sense and will realize that you're really cheating yourself if you're copying other answers. Have you had kids copy answers off your papers?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. How do you feel when that happens?
I always write down the wrong answer so they'll get it wrong. Then erase it afterwards.
Well, now there's an interesting answer. What do you think of that one? Did you all hear it? That he puts down the wrong answer so the person will copy it wrong, and then he erases it and puts down the right answer.
Smart. Because then they get them all wrong.
But then what if you can't catch up? What if the teacher's going too fast and you forget the question?
Well, it's usually do it when we have to write down the answers from a book.
And then if you know somebody's...
Yeah, what if he's doing it orally?
Well, there's certain problems involved. obviously, and help keeping other kids from looking over on your papers and so forth.
There's this one girl on my fifth grade class. Every time there was a test, she would put books all around her desk.
When I was in college, they would hold exams in big rooms, and we'd have to be spaced out with nobody around us. Empty seats so that we wouldn't be able to see anybody. If you know a lot of kids are cheating, do you think you should tell on them and tell the teacher?
Yeah, because if they're cheating on the test, they're really cheating themselves in knowledge, because when they get older, they're going to need the knowledge, and they're not going to be able to cheat someone. Or they're not going to be able to cheat someone to get the answers for something.
Also, one problem about cheating is that, for instance, how would you feel if some student in medical school was busy cheating? You wouldn't want him to graduate or her and become a doctor and operate on your appendix, would you?
No.
So that person is not only cheating himself, but might be, well, cheating somebody else, too. Because
life.
A skill that should be being developed is not being developed on account of the cheating. Do you think there's any circumstance that justifies cheating? We've already said revenge, and maybe that is or maybe that isn't a justification for it.
When you don't have a guilty conscience, when you don't have a guilty conscience about things.
So you let your conscience be your guide?
Yeah.
If it's something that doesn't really matter, it doesn't, like playing solitaire with yourself. Do you know some people that play solitaire with themselves and then they cheat? Randy's pointing to himself. Do you cheat yourself at solitaire?
Nope.
You're very scrupulous. Make it come out, you don't ever make it come out right?
Sometimes.
We've got TV games, and when there's a game that we can play by ourselves on the TV games, sometimes I cheat. I make, like playing Hangman, I make the wood come out right.
With Hangman?
Yeah.
I don't quite understand how that would work.
You can make the wood come out right. You can cheat the TV games only have a certain amount of...
Oh, this is a TV Hangman game?
Yeah.
Okay, I've never played that one, so I won't ask for an explanation, but I thought it was the good old Hangman that we used to play in church during the sermon when we would get tired of listening. My sister and I would sit and play Hangman between us in the hymn book.
You write in the hymn book?
Well, no, you'd put a piece of paper in the hymn book, but you'd hold the hymn book so that the people with you wouldn't see that you were playing Hangman, which might be a kind of cheating in that if you were supposed to be sitting up and paying attention to the sermon, why instead you were playing Hangman. Maybe that would be. Did I give you all a chance to tell your stories?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't quite sure with six of you. Do any of you have another cheating story that you would like to tell?
No.
Because our time is getting close to the end. Okay, Kate, let's hear one more from you.
Well, sometimes when I played, when I used to play a game with my dad, I would be losing and he would be winning and then I would just quit. And so finally he just hesitated to play games with me. But now he knows that I won't cheat.
I think this is the case. You kids are sixth graders, and I think that you're talking about cheating in the past, and before we started the program, why there was rather some heated discussion on whether anybody cheated now. And the Kim says she doesn't, and the various other shakings of heads, that's all something that's way behind you. Mike, you do every now and then, huh? What?
Yeah, for my birthday, I got a double checkerboard set. It was Chinese checkers and regular checkers, and sometimes I take checkers off the board when my brother's not looking. I go, hey, look, Duke's out. It's our dog. He looks out the window, and then I move some checkers around.
Do you think there's a greater temptation to cheat little brothers and sisters than there is to cheat others?
Yeah.
Certainly these papers from North School seem to have quite a proportion of them on little brothers and sisters. Well, for those of you that are listening in, let us hear your cheating stories. Write in and tell them to us. they could be well in the past. You may be willing to tell one that happened only recently. We realize that cheating is not something that we admire, but it is something that does happen and that all of us have done at least once in our lives. And so write us in your stories, and teachers, maybe you'll be like Ethel Kunstman and be willing to tell the story about the time that you did, too. And I want to thank you, Kim and Tammy and Mike and Greg and Kate and Randy, for being on the program with us today.
WSSR Radio has presented Reading and Writing and Radio. Send your writings to Jacqueline Jackson, Sangamon State University, Springfield, Illinois, 62708.